My text this morning is found in verse 14 of Isaiah 49. But Zion said, "The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me." Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt that the Lord, somehow or other, is not listening, he's not hearing, that the Lord has forsaken you, has forgotten all about you? Maybe you haven't said it in so many words, but have you ever thought it in your heart? And I'll be honest this morning, every one of us, you know, the one thing we do all have is that old nature. And sometimes we do get down, and sometimes we're in situations that are so difficult and hard, we think that the Lord hasn't heard us. Maybe there's a health problem, and that's not easy to deal with. Someone once said that our health is our wealth, and you know there's much truth in that. Maybe it's a family problem, and I'm sure there's hardly a family in this congregation that hasn't been troubled with that at some time or other. It's not easy bringing up in a family in the days in which you and I are living. Maybe it's a financial problem, and many are afflicted with that today because of the credit crunch and all the laws that have been brought in to tighten our belts. And we can't tighten them much more. But you know, I always think in all that, there's no credit crunch in heaven. The Lord's storehouse is never diminished. And you and I can come as often as we like and draw from that storehouse. It will never diminish one iota. Maybe it's a spiritual problem. And we all have those, don't we? We all lament the times of spiritual drought in our lives. Times of backsliding. Yes, we all can get there, can't we? Or maybe it's a church problem. And I wouldn't know a church in existence that wouldn't have problems. We all have our problems. It's how we deal with them that's important. We have to remember that this world is a battleground. It's not a playground. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." That's the bad news. But the good news is, "But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." That makes a difference, doesn't it? You know, I wouldn't like to be unsaved in this world. Not to have one to turn to in every time of need. But to be sure that there's someone there who always hears and answers prayer. Perhaps you're a bit down on it this morning. And you feel that God has forsaken you and that he has forgotten you. And sometimes circumstances can come on upon us. And you know, we concentrate on the problem instead of the Lord who can deal with the problem. But how wrong can we be? The Lord hasn't forsaken his people. The Lord hasn't forgotten his people. But sometimes, you know, that old adversary, the devil, comes along and he whispers in your ear, "You're in some pickle now, boy. Sure, if the Lord loved you, he wouldn't let you go through this situation. If the Lord really loved you, why is it in your financial straits? Why is the family the way it is?" And of course, he's a liar from the beginning. And I wonder, were these the sentiments that the Israelites were expressing during that long time in captivity in Babylon? Did they ever despair of ever getting out of their captivity? Of ever seeing again the green hills of Israel? Of ever seeing the Jerusalem that they loved so much? Were there not times when they got down and they would say, "The Lord hath forsaken us, and our Lord hath forgotten us"? But how wrong they were. How wrong they were. And how wrong you and I are, if we're a genuine child of God, if we ever think that the Lord has forsaken us or forgotten us. He doesn't do that. He cares for us. And you know, we need to remind ourselves of that. The devil's always reminding us of our past. And he's the great old muckraker, isn't he? And he'll try and get us down. And keep us down and trample us down. But the Lord always seeks to lift us up and keep us up. Now, as we look at this verse this morning, I want to notice first of all that God knows all about our problems. In Exodus chapter 2 and verse 24, we read, Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and their cry came up to God, and God heard their groaning. And of course, the Lord delivered them out of Egypt and out of bondage, and brought them into the land that flowed with milk and with honey. But now, because of their idolatry, they were down in Babylon. And they're saying, the Lord hath forsaken us. The Lord has forgotten us. There's times when you and I feel like that. Times of hardship. And Israel were downhearted because of the long time they were in captivity. The days had turned into months and the months into years. And they were there for a long time. Jeremiah tells us that it was 70 years. 70 years that the Lord had left them in captivity. And there seemed no light at the end of the tunnel. And the Babylonians would taunt them. Oh, come on now, boys. Sing us a song of Zion. And how could they? They were so discouraged. And they were far away from homeland. You know, that's the way we get sometimes. And the old devil comes along and mocks us. And the world comes and mocks us. They see us going through a difficult patch. Come on now, boys. Let's hear you singing the hymns now. And like Naomi coming back from Moab, Naomi means pleasant. She had an attractive personality, a pleasant person to know, a lovely person. But you know, when her husband Elimelech took her down into Moab, they backslid, was into the world, and there she lost her husband and her two sons. And then she decides to go back to Israel. Why? To Bethlehem, Judah. Why? She had heard that the Lord had visited his people. And you know, if Elimelech had stayed where he was, the Lord would have met his need, even though there was a famine. But he thought he was wiser than God. He went down into Moab, down into the world, and he lost his life and his two sons. And there's Naomi. And the only one coming back with is Ruth the Moabitess. And when she comes back to Bethlehem, Judah, the people hardly knew her. You see, even backsliding sometimes affects our very appearance. It's not hard to know someone that's in the midst of blessing and enjoying the Lord. There's something about them. There's a presence with them. There's a glow about them. But you know, when we're backslidden, then there's nobody more miserable than a backslider. And Naomi comes back and they say, is this Naomi? Is this the woman that went out filled with her husband, her sons? Boy, I'd hardly know her. Hardly know her. And she said, call me not Naomi. Call me Mara, which is bitter. For the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. Oh, we can get it all wrong, can't we? We can get it so much wrong. And if Elimelech had stayed where he was, the Lord would have blessed him. And sometimes we go out of the will of God. We know better than the Lord, and you know, the consequences are disastrous. Contrast what David said in Psalm 37, verse 25. I have been young and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Oh, David had proved the Lord over and over again. No, he wasn't perfect, and we know that. But he loved the Lord. And he sought to please the Lord, and his testimony was, I was young, and now I'm an old man, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And do you see what David is saying here? He's telling us that the Lord is with his people all the way, every day. The Lord is with us. Sometimes his presence is felt greater than other times, but the Lord is always there. Just like today, it's a dull day, it's a gray day, because the clouds are there and the sun is hidden. but the sun is still there. And sometimes that's like your life and mine. Things seem to be grey and dull, and we don't seem to feel the presence of the Lord, but the Lord is still there. The Lord is still there. Zion said, "The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me." Isn't that what Jacob thought? Remember how Joseph was sold by his brethren as a slave down into Egypt. But God had plans for Joseph. And Joseph had given him a dream that the sheaves of his brothers and also his father and mother would bow down to him. And God fulfilled his promise to Joseph. And when Joseph was down in Egypt, there were 7 years of famine. Pharaoh made him put him in charge of the storehouses, so that anybody came for food during the famine, he would give it to them. And then his brethren came down. And of course, Joseph wanted to see his younger brethren, Simon and Benjamin. And he said, you're not getting anything until I see your brethren. I want to see them. And you know, old Jacob was really heartbroken. And this is what he said in Genesis 42, verse 36. "And Jacob, their father, said unto them," that is under his sons, "Me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. But you and I know, because of the word of God, that they weren't against him, that God hadn't forsaken him, that God hadn't forgotten, but God was working out his own purpose for his own glory and for their good." And we also read in that chapter 50, if you look at chapter 50 and verses 4 to 8, chapter 50, in verses 4 to 8. We'll read verse 20. And here's Joseph speaking to his brethren. He said in verse 19, "And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God. But as for you, ye thought evil against me." That was the selling of Joseph down into Egypt. "But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." Jacob said, "All these things are against me, but they were working together for good," as Paul says in Romans 8 and 28. "All things work together for good to them that love God." Working together. Sometimes we feel like that. All these things are against me. But just hold on, brethren, patience. And just wait upon God. And you'll find that all things will work together for good to them that love God. Sometimes, you know, we're down spiritually. And it's those times that the devil comes along and he would tell us, "Well, what's the use?" You ever feel like that in your own life or in the life of the church? What's the point? Sunday school teacher, you've got a class, and wee Jimmy is more often under the seat than he is on it. And you just wonder what they're taking in. And maybe in the children's meeting, boy, it's bedlam sometimes, isn't it? It's not easy. The Lord never promised us an easy road. But all things will work together for good. But it's those times when the devil comes and it put in your mind, what's the use? Why put yourself to this bother? You'd have been far better sitting at home tonight with your feet up and watching the match on the television, wouldn't you? But that's not what it's about. It's doing God's will. It's seeking the lost for Christ. And after many years in captivity, the Lord was delivering Israel. Yes, it was long, it was difficult, but the Lord was bringing them back again to Israel. And you know, if you even look at Israel today, all the conflict is centering on Israel. And in the United Nations, she had only 9 that would vote for in that vote to give Palestinian a place in Israel. Just 9. And I tell you, they'll be whittled down more. But God has brought them back from being scattered throughout the world, and he has them in their homeland. That's God's doing. Maybe sometimes in times of little success, you feel that God has forsaken you and forgotten you. Notice what they said here in verse 4 of Isaiah 49. Then I said, I have labored in vain, I have spent my strength for naught and in vain, yet surely my judgment is with the Lord and my work is with my God. I have labored in vain, I have spent my strength for naught, and I've spent years in the work of God, and I see very little for it. That can be the lot of many of the God's people. Don't see a whole lot. But just because you and I don't see it doesn't mean to say that there's nothing happening. Two men met down the street, two Christians, and one said to the other, "Ah, times are hard, there's nothing happening." And the other says, "How do you know that? God doesn't have to tell you everything he's doing." And so it is, you know, God is always working. And our service is never in vain for the Lord. We shall reap if we faint not. And sometimes, you know, you look around about you, and you see the prosperity of the wicked. And evil men seem to prosper. And they seem to get off with all their crimes and all their wickedness and their sin. That's what Asaph felt in Psalm 73. He said, I've washed my hands in innocency. My feet had well nigh slipped. Why? Because he saw the prosperity of the wicked. That is, until he went into the sanctity of God, and then he saw their end. They're in a slippery slope. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, I feel myself, I mean, the Lord's been so good, and I sometimes think, am I having my good things in this life? Because that's the portion of the wicked. Because their afterlife, if they don't repent, is hell for all eternity. And that's the portion of each one without Christ. You need to repent and believe the gospel and trust in Christ as your Savior. Ask him into your heart and life to make it over anew. And then one day to take you to be with himself. But God does love and care for us. Israel said, but Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me and the Lord hath forgotten me. But listen to what the Lord was saying, verse 13. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. That was a different tune, wasn't it? This is what the Lord was saying. This is what the Lord had for them. He's going to comfort his people. He's going to bless them. And all the time, just because of circumstances or situations, they think God has forgotten them. Notice the illustration that God gives of his love. Verse 15. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will not I forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. And what's greater, what could be greater, humanly speaking, than a mother's love? You know, the mother is the keystone of the family, really. It's the one, she's the one that the children gather around. And you know, when they're outside and they cut their knees and they come in and they're looking, and she takes them up on her knees and she gives them a wee cuddle, and you know, everything's all right, isn't it? And mother's love is great. It's sacrificial. A good mother is a mother who sacrifices that in order that her children might have. They feed us. They sustain us. They do without themselves so that their children might not want. And that is one reason why we should always look after our elderly parents as long as we can, because we can never repay them for what they have done for us. And young people, you honor your father and mother as the fifth command commands. You'll never have anybody like them. You'll not have anybody to look after you the way your mother will, apart from the Lord. Appreciate what they do for you. Her love is natural. It's hard to account for a mother's love. You would have to break her heart before you could change her love for her child. Unfortunately, in the fallen world in which we're living, there's mothers who don't care for their children. And they abuse them. But a genuine mother loves her children. There's a true story concerning one Solomon Rosenberg. I don't know where you've ever heard of him or not. But he and his wife and two sons, his father and mother, were arrested and placed in a Nazi concentration camp. It was a labor camp, and the rules were simple. While you were able to work, you lived. And when you were too weak to work, you died. That was the rules. And Solomon Rosenberg had seen both his parents taken away to the gas chamber to be killed. He knew in his heart of hearts that the next one would be his young child David, who was a weak child. And every time he came home from the labor fields, he would look around and he would gather his family together and they would thank God for another day together. And then one day he came home and he couldn't see his family. And he looked around and then he saw his son Joshua and he was huddled in a corner and he was praying and he was weeping. He said, "Joshua, what's wrong? Don't tell me." He feared the worst. And he said, "It's true, Papa. Today David wasn't strong enough to do his work, so they came for him." "But where's your mother? Where's your mother?" "Papa, when they came for David, he was afraid and he cried. And Mama said, 'David, there's nothing to be afraid of.' And she took him by the hand and she went with him." A mother's love. A mother's love. And yet God's love is superior. God's love is superior. He said, "Your names are engraved on the palms of my hands." And you know, the Savior is in heaven. And he's still a body. And the prints of the nail prints are in his hands. And that's your assurance and mine. That God will never leave us or forsake us. He never stops loving us. He always is with us. Never forget you. He paid too big a price for that. Whom he loved them unto the end. His love is just like himself. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise his name. And no one can erase what God has written in his hands. The gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. And when God gave you the greatest gift that any man can receive, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, he doesn't take it back. He doesn't take it back. "I give unto my sheep eternal life and they shall never perish." And Paul writes in Romans 8:38, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing. Nothing. And you're saying, but nothing. His love is the same. Remember his word to Joshua when Joshua took over the mantle of Moses. And he said, "As I was with Moses, I will be with thee. I will not leave thee. I will not fail thee. I will not forsake thee." And God's a gentleman and he keeps his word. I love that. You remember that, brethren and sisters, when the time is difficult and hard. Jesus said, "I'll not leave thee. I'll not fail thee. I'll not let thee down. I'll lift thee up. I'll not forsake thee." Can a mother forget her child? Yea, she may. But God does not forget his people. Lovely hymn we sang this morning. And verse 5 of 567 says, "My name on the palms of his hands eternity will not erase. Impressed on his heart it remains in marks of indelible grace. Yes, I to the end shall endure, as sure as the earnest is given, more happy, but not more secure, the glorified saints in heaven." The Lord has forsaken me, the Lord has forgotten me. Not a bit of it. It's not like that. How wrong can we be? And I just close with this thought. In Exodus chapter 28, in verses 15 to 21, it's speaking there of the high priest, and he has a plate of precious stones on his breast. And each one of those stones is engraved the name of one of the tribes of Israel. And when the high priest went into the holiest of all, he bore the names of the tribes into the holy place, into the presence of God for us. And those names were engraved on the stones. Now, every stone was different. They were all precious, but they were different. And brethren and sisters, you and I are different. But I tell you this, we're precious in the sight of the Lord. And we have a great high priest who's into the heavens for us to make intercession for us. Isn't that lovely? Jesus is our advocate with the Father, the one who speaks on our behalf. He has promised, "I'll never leave thee." In fact, I'm in heaven now, and I'm mentioning you by name at the throne of grace. Remember the day, the night you were saved? He called you by your name, and you were his, and you'll never be anything else. I can remember well. It's over 44 years now. And I can remember the night as just as it was yesterday, the night in a home where I bowed the knee to Christ and accepted him as my Savior. And you know, when I came out of that house that night, I felt a burden had rolled away, the burden of sin. And Christ dealt with it. And he's saying to you and I, "I'll never leave thee or forsake thee." No matter what anybody else says, no matter what the devil comes and tells you, Jesus said, "I will never leave thee or forsake thee. Thou art mine." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this morning and encourage us along the way. We'll dispense with our closing hymn this morning, and we'll just bring the service to a close in prayer. And Father, we thank thee for thy precious word. Lord, we thank thee that we're loved with an everlasting love. Lord, we don't deserve it. We're not worthy of the least of thy blessings. But Lord, while we're so faithless, God is ever faithful. And whom he loved, he loved them unto the end. It's an everlasting love, led by grace, that love to know. And we ask this morning, should there be one in our gathering they know not the Lord, that they might enter into that love, that they might leave their sin and turn to Christ and accept him as their Lord and their Savior and find in him a resting place, and he will make them glad, that they might start for heaven and home and serve him and one day be with him, which is far better. Bless the congregation here in the martyrs, and may in the days and months, years that lie ahead, whatever time God has for us, that the blessing of the Lord with which he maketh rich and he addeth no sorrow with it will be their abiding portion. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.